Welcome to the Plus Six Podcast. On this episode, Jeppe and I will talk trade targets ahead of round five. There is also an extended like or dislike this week. This podcast was recorded on Tuesday night, 10:10 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, April 9. Make necessary adjustments as news comes to hand. Enjoy the pod. Okay, so let's welcome in Jeb. Jeb, you went to Gather Round. Firstly, how are you going and how was your experience in Adelaide?
Going well, a bit tired from Gather Round, Pete. It was absolutely phenomenal. Great atmosphere, great people in of Adelaide, and brought together some fantasy fanatics too. So met lots of people I've never met before, which was great. And had a really good time going to seven games in the end out of the nine. So pretty happy.
It was another week where if everything was lined up for your team, it was a significant rank improvement was the result.
Oh, for sure. Like, we wasn't best 18 this week, so I think a few coaches got caught out with some sideways trades earlier in the first three rounds. So definitely some rank jumps, including myself. But we go back to best 18 this week, and it's those top end talent now for the best 18 again.
Name one decision you made last week and why.
So this is going to sound terrible. I held Jack Billings, and I don't know why. I sort of got excited having the loop there with Lazaro getting dropped, and I had more faith in Jack Billings, and he disappointed me, mate. So started me on the bench with the E, and thought to loop him if it went pear shaped, and it did go pear shaped, unfortunately. And here we are.
I traded James Jordan a week ahead of time and started Harley Reid there. So it was a positive from a points perspective differential there. So it was a good result there. Managing this week's bye was behind the decision to get rid of Jordan early. And obviously, I got the positive outcome with Reid outscoring him. The reason behind that for me was that I do have Nick Daigle. So have an extra top player where some teams are not going to have that issue. So it was just about movement. And obviously, most people got Heaney and Roberts and somebody like Grundy there as well. So, but I've got Dacos. So it was about just moving on ahead of time, just pre-planning for this week ahead. Shedding some Sydney players was definitely a priority for me. So next question here, targeting the break-even game is so crucial at this stage of the year. Your thoughts here?
100%, buddy. It's cash gen. Cash gen is most important, but still making the upgrades. So I think a lot of coaches this week will downgrade to Closey and then upgrade with the other trades. So cash gen optimal of most importance, and then getting rid of the players that are topping out. It's just simple maths.
Yeah, having dead rookies on the bench at this time of the year, and I've seen a few in top-ranked teams in that situation, it's going to catch up with you later in the season. So you just really got to be mindful just to hit on some really good break-evens. And, if that means like a double downgrade or just, fixing a couple of rookies up, that's only going to benefit you at the end of the season. So one question I'm just going to ask you related to that, Jeb, is rank your bench health out of 10. So 10 being pretty good. Your bench rookies are generating some money there and scoring well, or one or zero where you got pretty poor bench. So just give yourself a score out of 10.
Yeah, I'll go 7 out of 10. I've got Zach Reed and Lazaro. Lazaro could go for me this week. But other than that, everyone's ticking along nicely.
Yeah, I'll give myself an 8 out of 10. I've got the same Reid and Lazaro there, so Lazaro is going to go in the next couple of weeks for me. I'll hit on a downgrade there and cash him in. But yeah, most other players on my bench are scoring well. Actually, Sharp was on my bench last week and he just smashed it. So pretty healthy bench from my point of view. And next question here: when upgrading to premium players, you should consider the mid-season buy period. So just on your thoughts on, upgrading players now with a thought to the mid-season buys, Jeff.
So it's about balance, as it always been, and we've got to think about the mid-season buy, even though there's still two early buy rounds to go, and we're in that. But if you're bringing in a primo with another round 12, and look, many of us own Heaney, Sheezel, there's Tom Green, there's a lot of popular primos with the round 12 buy. You can't be too top heavy there. So having that balance of your primos between the mid-season buy rounds is just so crucial. And look, I've got the spreadsheet working for me, and I'm sure you do too, and many of our listeners also.
Yeah, you can throw Gordon into that scenario. So pretty much zero ownership for higher ranked coaches. And that I was almost going to start Gordon at round one, but that poor score in round zero just obviously put me off him. So pretty much no ownership there. And yeah, the early buy. So you just want to extend players that you're targeting out at this point of the season, based on your balance, for those that have got the buy at the end of those teams grouped. Let's move on to round four, top 25 ownership, Jep, and it's 20% or higher on ground only. So let's go to the rucks first. Gorn 96%, Cherry at 80%, and we're going to go to Grundy at 24%. So interesting, no Tim English mentioned here, and no Rowan Marshall mentioned here. I thought so.
Yeah, that is interesting. And look, there's going to be movement with trades, so especially in that ruck line with the bye rounds now. So again, I think the majority of the high ranked coaches will go straight up to a Marshall or English, and these ruck percentages will change significantly over the next 3 weeks.
Onto the defenders here. So Sheasel 100%, Elliot Yeo 100%. Good start to his season. Hayden Young 100%. Isaiah Wankanee-Miller 80%. You had a first-hand look at him on the weekend. He was outstanding. Zach Williams 64%. Scores have been moderate, I would say. Lachie Whitfield. So a lot of people held him through that buy. And on the outside, he came at 48% ownership last week. Jordan Clark again outstanding, 36%. D'Ambrosio's got some ownership at 28%. And Tom Stewart just at 20%, which is really interesting. And so just the thoughts here is that no Nick Daggross mentioned there, no Luke Ryan mentioned there, no Jack Sinclair mentioned there. Thoughts, Jep?
Yeah, that is interesting. Again, I think most of us with these Rooks and Bonner getting DPP soon, I think that's here to stay for a little while longer. So, yeah, Nick Daicos will obviously come into calculations after the Port game, or is for me. But other than that, I think, yeah, they're the top end players that will, and that high ownership of what you just read out will be here to stay for a little while longer.
Yeah, a bit of FOMO with some of these players after the bye period, Jeff, because if they smash it out, in the first couple of weeks after those buys, they'll be highly targeted. And if you miss on like a Dacos, if he goes nuts in those first couple of weeks, if you miss on a Dacos, that could be it for the year. You might miss out. Thoughts there?
Yeah, and it's hitting the jump. So Dacos, I think, has dropped 75 grand. So, well, he's very much underpriced from what he can definitely achieve and score. And for me, targeting the playing the break even game a little bit after this bye, he's still got a high break even, Port a hard matchup. But no matter what, I think it's the Anzac Day game or maybe the week before, he's coming in for me. So, yeah. Really excited to bring Nick in, and like I said, other than him, I think there won't be much movement in that defender line for ownership.
And the last one is Isaiah Wankanee-Miller. Like, he's pretty much a decent chance to be top six defender. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I agree. And to me, the appeal, because I'm a non-owner, he's just so cheap too. So I think it's 835 grand off the top of my head, and yeah, that price point is really appealing to me. So, I encourage other coaches that don't own him to look at him closely.
So the mids here, we've got Nick Martin 100%, Roberts at 96%, McKercher scores have been up and down 92%, Sanders 88%, Bonner at 84%, Steele at 84%, Sarong 40%, Matt Crouch 40%, Conor Rosie outstanding last week 40%, Jeremy Sharp 36%, outstanding score last week against Carlton, and Zach Merritt 32%, Zach Butters 24%. So your thoughts on those, what any one of those in a second, but I'll just add, in those players that I've just mentioned, there is no Rory Laird, no Jordan Dawson, no Tom Green, no Marcus Bontempelli, no Errol Gordon, no Josh Dunkley, and probably a couple of others you can throw in there. So there's a potential group of players there that could be top eight mids by the end of the year that have no ownership yet.
Yeah, agreed. And look, you've just sounded out who my targets are essentially for the week. And especially if I do decide to bring in a mid. Yeah, Bont, well, I think we'd all agree that's a top eight mid, and he probably started slower than owners would like, but obviously was sensational against Geelong, and hopefully gets a bit of a run on with that form now. And there's others like that, I think. Even someone like Noah Anderson, who is going to have low ownership, Dunkley as well, they're all going to be pushing there. So it is definitely going to be interesting in the mid primo line and who coaches start bringing in now, given it's upgrade season.
Okay, onto the forward line here. So Heaney 100%, Tom Power 100%, James Jordan 76% on a bye this week. Dempsey's been pretty solid, 76%. Luke Jackson 68%. Zach Fisher. For me, it looks like Zach Fisher is just going to pop one off and go for a massive score, but it just doesn't happen yet. So I'm really bullish on him still, and I think it can happen. But yeah, he's still got strong ownership. People are wavering, no doubt about it, but I'm still actually really bullish on this one. 68% for Fisher. Flanders 52%, and that's going to be pretty high, you would imagine, this time next week, Jep. And Harley Reid, pretty good score for three quarters last week. Again, slowed down late in the game, but he got there anyway. And 36% for him. Your thoughts here?
Yeah, I jumped off Fisher last week just to try be a little bit different, and that Norwood ground, I thought it would be a more contested game than it was for Brisbane and North, but Brisbane just got on a tear, and yeah, North couldn't keep up. So yeah, there's a bit of strategy there with Fisher. He just looks a bit off it, and his defensive work is substandard, it must be said. So how they play McKercher and Fisher and what they do there is quite interesting to me, and we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, look, I think the forward, top end forwards are pretty obvious right now, and everyone's got to go to it, Flanders especially.
Who are your top three targets for round five, assuming you don't own any?
So yeah, Marcus Bontempelli has come down in price a little bit, still really expensive, but nevertheless, we know what he can do. I think we know all agree he's a top eight mid. Hits the ceiling, scores, captain option. And Bulldogs need to start fighting back as a team. So he's going to be at the forefront of that. So he's there for me. Sam Flanders, number two, just at that half back role. There's going to be a time where he's going to score 140, Pete. There's no doubt in my mind. He just does what he wants. We were watching it live. Oh, sorry, not live at the ground, but live on screen. And we were talking about it as a Nick Martin role, no real opponent, just run off, create and attack. And yeah, there's going to be big ceiling scores there. And the last one here is Zach Butters as a bit of an underpriced premium, good buy, mid-season buy round. And again, I don't think he's quite hit his straps yet. So let's see what happens.
My three are Sam Flanders. Yeah, I think it's going to be good. And obviously, that halfback role is certainly noteworthy. I would keep in mind that the Gold Coast play in slippery conditions at night. And you mentioned a pre-pod. They got a couple of Darwin games, obviously, again this year. But, the ball's going to be on the ground in Gold Coast home conditions. But he's like you mentioned, like he's not that tall. So, he can collect off the ground ball and obviously get a lot of receives there as well. So I'm not too concerned about that. But when he has to defend, he's going to have to defend. And, a lot of coaches would have looked at that move last week. And it's really interesting. You give a team a week off and a bye, like things happen. And no doubt Gold Coast made, I think it was about six changes in the end. Not Clarkson, Hardwick had a time to think over a week off and look at all the changes come back. So I'll just reiterate through the bye periods, because we've seen it in years past. You give a team and a coach a week off. When they come back, things alter. So you really got to keep your radar up. Now, Flanders, with all those multiple changes, would have been difficult to identify if Flanders going half back. Some did, some didn't. So it's just one of those, the game started to go, well, hang on a sec, he's at a half back, and oh, look out. So from that point of view, do coaches, AFL coaches, start to target Flanders to shut down his run and carry? Because I listened to Damien Hardwick presser after the game, and like he was super excited, and that looks like it's permanent, and pretty confident that's going to be the case. But I just wonder if AFL coaches start to shut that down anytime soon. And when he's going to have to defend, the scores might be a little bit volatile. But yeah, on the whole, I'm really bullish about his pick. And if you played in a dry ground like Marvel Stadium, absolutely smash play. But just keep in mind they play on the wet conditions and the wet surface on the Gold Coast at times. But still love the pick. The next one here, Tom Green, massive ceiling, lost a lot of ownership from the early part of the season due to his bye. So, but he's got the early bye coming mid-season, so I've got to keep that one in mind. And the next one here, Nzioko Wanganeen-Maluwa. I do think he's going to be a top six contender, and we've obviously seen a couple of high ceiling games from him to start the season. So, just your final thoughts on anything I've said there, Jep?
Yeah, just the price point of Wanganeen-Miller again. It is he's super cheap for a keeper, and much like Flanders, you can cash in now and enjoy it for the season's end. I think Sinclair is being a little bit of a Mr. Fix-It playing higher up the ground because they are just entrusting with Bonner and Wanganeen-Miller behind the ball now. So and Wanganeen-Miller when he's on and showing good form, Saints, come to the party. So, it really impressed me, and I'm highly considering him this week too.
Okay, notable low break even. So Sam Cloisi minus 22, outstanding. Kicked it on in his first career game and looked pretty comfortably at the wings. Not all going to be plain sailing for him, but his break even is outstanding. Charlie Combin, obviously, has stuck a ball inside D50 for Kangaroos defence. And Combin, even though the Kangaroos gave up a stack of scores, he actually looked okay for me. He's got a break even of minus three. Can you go there? Not sure. Big tough matchup this week, if he's going up against Hawkins, so it could be a bit of a nightmare for him. But yeah, he won an off ball and minus three is quite solid, but just what's he going to do against a really tough matchup? Last week was a tough matchup and he still got there, so it's one definitely to keep an eye on. Max Ramsden was actually okay for the Hawks, break even at two. Will Graham got some centre bounce usage there, so that's really noteworthy for Gold Coast mids and how they're going to look. And so the upcoming period with regards to his usage in the midfield. And I thought it was quite solid. I thought he was quite solid as well. Break even at two, Jeremy Sharp, outstanding on the weekend. Break even at five, Mark Keane getting a stack of ball inside D50 for the Crows. His scores are okay. Salovey's quite appealing for many, probably not for me, but for many it is. So his break even of six, Kyle Lohman, six there as well. Harvey Gallagher, low score last week, moderate score, I should say. So still some cash to be made there. Bodie Yillen, break even eight. Rolly Sanders, he's going to be holding. If he gets that forward status, he might be a keeper for a hell of a long time, Jet, for me. So break even of nine. And Oliver Dempsey, actually, another quality score on the weekend. Not as high as what it was in the wet against Hawthorn, but still good enough. Break even at 12. Thoughts on any one of those?
Yeah, Closey's just the pick of the bunch. It's as simple as that. I'm not expecting 95 every week, especially at a wing roll. And like you said, the Gold Coast's home ground is a wetter surface, and it's going to be harder for those plus sixes, especially as a winger. But nevertheless, it's the break-even game, and we've got to cash in when these guys present themselves.
Yeah, the other one I did notice on the weekend, Jep, is Harvey Thomas had a pretty good break even last week, subbed out of the game, obviously low scoring game. He's almost a dead rookie now, so you just got to make sure. Obviously, Cloisi is a massive target, and so it should be. But man, hopefully it goes well because if he's subbed out of the game or he scores like a 20 or 30, that's going to be dead money really quickly. So hopefully, he can smash out a pretty big score and make it plenty more cash for all the owners there. Well, Jeff, next one here. Notable players potentially dropping in salary, 130 plus break even. So these ones are to target in the future couple of weeks, I guess. Clayton Oliver still dealing with that finger injury. He's going to drop a stack of cash. He's going to be a massive target some stage throughout the year once he's fully healthy. Jeff, break even to 153. Calibs run 146. Tim English 145. Jack McRae 143. I mean, what price is he going to get to? And then if he can sort of solidify himself into the team with no sub potential there, he's going to be a massive target. So 143 for him, and he's got forward status, Jep. So I just want you to hit on that once we finish here. And then Darcy Parrish, 142, Tom Green, 137, Nick Daicos, 130. Thoughts here?
Yeah, with McRae, it's just you've got to see a block of games. We just don't know where he fits. Well, I think that's a lie. We've got a good indication where he fits in the best 22 for Bulldogs. Bevo, he's obviously trying to keep his cards to himself and back his decisions for various reasons on McRae and Caleb Daniel. But Yeah, I won't be looking at any for a long time, and wouldn't trade any in unless I saw a good block of a form within, say, 4 weeks.
All right, next one here, Jep. So we're going to go to notable strong scoring output with a 120 plus average last 3 rounds. So Jack Steele 125, Harry Sheasel has been fantastic to start the year, 123, Zach Merritt 122, Max Gawn 121 smashing it, and obviously Nick Martin, one of the picks of the year, is at 121 there. Thoughts, Jep?
Yeah, I think, well, I believe Zach Merritt's the most expensive player right now in fantasy. So, not so much a trade target, but everyone else, Steele especially, Cheese has just been phenomenal and just a lock in defense. You've got to pay up sometimes. And if you don't own any of those players, yeah, with the exception of Merritt, I'd be chasing them pretty quickly.
Onto a few key players for the listeners. Thank you for sending those in as always. Time to play like or dislike. We're going to do our 29 pack, Jep. So let's get stuck straight into it here. Rowan Marshall. We talked a lot about Rowan Marshall after the pod last week, Jep, and we were discussing, when to target him. And we sort of thought about 3 weeks' time, but he had a pretty decent run in his favour. So just got to manage that. But then Ross Lyon comes out and says, he's exhausted and Tom Campbell might be an opportunity, which didn't happen at all last year when he was pretty much mentioning it every second week. So I don't believe it until I see it. So I just completely ignore what Ross Lyon is saying there. He's probably setting the narrative for AFL coaches to sort of, spend some time on what do they do if they bring in two rucks. Maybe he's just trying to waste their prep time for games against Saints. I wouldn't be surprised if that is the case at all. So for me, absolutely ignoring that news or information from Ross Lyon until it actually happens. So you're going to be targeting a couple of weeks. So like the peak, not yet for me, but 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, look, I like him. I agree. I'm not listening to Ross, and especially watching him live on the weekend on Norwood in that second half. He was essentially the catalyst of why St Kilda got up and won. He was phenomenal. It was a pleasure to watch, and the importance that he bodes to the St Kilda Football Club was evident to me. And with that, yeah, he's a big target.
Next one here, Zach Jones, probably getting some midfield time, but straight dislike for me, better options around.
Just like not waste my time there.
Jack Lukosh is going into defence for the Gold Coast Suns. So we spoke about this pre-pod. I thought Flanders is a better pick than Lukosh. Obviously, both you can play in the forward line because, Lukosh is going to have to match up against some key forwards at times and he, relies on plenty of marks. So again, if we factor in, that's ball is going to be on the ground in slippery conditions on the Gold Coast, Flanders is probably the more, probably the better player to take advantage of those conditions. So I don't mind it. It's sort of noteworthy that he's gone back. He scored a couple of 80s in his role in defence. So it looks like it's going to be pretty much a permanent move to defence. I just wonder how that's going to play out for him. Like, I'm really torn, but I just think there are better options in the forward line, even though it's really thin still, Jep. So I wish it was a couple of $100,000 cheaper because then it's an automatic, but probably not at his price point, just like for me.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pete. I think his price just is too awkward and it's a dislike. And yeah, there are other players, especially once Richmond come off their bye, there's a couple there that might be of interest.
Next one here, Colby McKercher. So, scores have been up and down. Wouldn't mind seeing playing a stack of games under the roof, which is kind of upcoming. But when is he going to run out of, his earning capacity? It's coming up, Jeb. It's going to be pretty close. So I think it's a hold for the time being. Hopefully his scores can be there. It's probably not going to hurt you to hold him through the next couple of weeks with regards to the best 18. So it's a wait and see for me for McKercher. So from that point of view, I'll say like still.
Yeah, I'll say slash hold. Let's see what North do with him in terms of role. Obviously, he looked lost in the midfield. But again, I think Norwood was just a unique ground, and they were trying to change things up on the fly against Brisbane because they were getting smashed. So I expect him still to go back to half back and have an influence there. And there's no panic yet.
Next one here, Lloyd Meek. So I guess a lot of people are going to try and replace Brodie Grundy this week. So they're looking at options there to potentially make some quick cash. Lloyd Meek has been okay for the Hawks. I'd probably just roll with Grundy and hold him for the next week. Maybe that's an option, or even upgrade him out of someone who is not on a buy over the next couple of weeks. Yeah, it's kind of a tough one if you still have Grundy. I don't like the Lloyd Meek situation, only because if something happens next week that you've got to make a couple of changes, then you're stuck with him another week. And then if there's something happens onto that with a couple of injuries, you know, stuck with him another week. So the short-term option that I actually don't like here, so dislike on Lloyd Meek.
Yeah, dislike on Meek and just on Grundy. If you're gonna trade him, it's an upgrade. We just pumped up Marshall's tires pretty hard there, and he's your number one target.
Next one here, Joey Newcomb. I guess it's just time to go. So if you're still a hold, it's probably just time to move on. Your thoughts there, Jep?
Yeah, look, he that game was suited to his style of play, slippery, bash and crash, contested. Scored in the 90s, but yeah, look, he's just not looking confident and where he should be and where we need him to be. So big dislike.
Yeah, just the high ceiling games up there. So we need to be targeting players as much as possible that, you know, can hit a 120, 130, 140. So just not that guy, unfortunately. I had high hopes for him. It's just not going to be the case, it appears. Next one here, Will Graham in the midfield getting some centre bounce usage. So like for me.
Yeah, love the CBAs from Graham. And although most of us bring in closer, yeah, we'll still be watching Graham and maybe even bring him in the week after, sorry. So if I think he might reach like 280, 300K, depending on how well he goes. But yeah, just another look at him at role and confidence, and yeah, it's a big like for now still.
Yeah, I've got Lazaro. You have two. It might be a Lazaro to Graham for me next week. That's what I'm looking at this stage. All based on a couple of factors, and especially how Graham goes. It doesn't like I hope he smashes out and gets a bigger break even. Will cost you won't scrap as much cash out of Lazaro, but you know, obviously you're gonna make a lot more on the back end for Will Graham. Next one here, Dane Zorko. It's a D50 halfback type role. His school's going to be well. It's a long haul for the remainder of the year for Zorko. You know, Jeb, I was thinking about this one pretty significantly today, not as a trade-in target or anything like that. I was just thinking, you know, Brisbane do have that early bye, and if we're going to target Zorko at any stage, I don't want to be for like 20 games. I'm happy to do a 12-game set, and that's after their bye. So for me, it's a no until after Brisbane's bye. Let's see how he's going at that stage. Let's see his health. So dislike for me now, but he would probably be a big target for me at the at their bye period. Your thoughts here?
Yeah, I agree, mate. Dislike for now. I've got Heaney and Powell in my forward line already, and they both had the round 12 bye. And I doubt, yeah, I don't want to bring in another before then. So let's reassess. And I think he's 35 years old, and there's going to be a red vest or two in time management. It's a long year. We're just getting started. So buy beware.
Next one here, Zach Williams. Scores are moderate, I would say, Jeb. So he's got a stack of ownerships. I just wonder, you know, if people are starting to think to get off Williams. I am. So from that point of view, I'm going to start to say a dislike here for me for Zach Williams.
Yeah, it's a tough one because I think again, I can we can all well, I can see the positives of him and him bringing it all into a game together. It just hasn't come through yet. So break even of 48, if you hold, it's not the end of the world, is it? So especially in the best 18 rounds. So I'm not against holding him, and I still believe in him. I think he can go 85 plus pretty consistently. So I'll say like.
Next one here, Noah Anderson, 108 average to start the year has been flying. And when you got Rowell and Miller in there, just beat the absolute balls, and Rowell's actually an absolute ball right now. Yeah, and he's winning a stack of ball. No Flanders in the midfield anymore, so you kind of think that Anderson more reliance on him. So it might be actually a really good situation for him. So from that point of view, I kind of like the pick. I don't think I'm going to go there, but I wouldn't mind it if others did.
Yeah, I like him a lot this year too. I think the next phase of his game is consistency, and that's been one of my notes on him from previous years. He's had games where he goes 120 or big influence on a game, and then sort of fades the week after and bounces back again. So looking at him to start the year, he has been very consistent. Spread from contest has been great, like you said, because He can rely on Rao doing the hard yards and took even here and there. So perfect fantasy game, coming of age, peaking in terms of his age and profile and all of that. So, and most importantly, Pete, he's got a high ceiling. So yeah, big like.
Next one here, Jeremy Cameron. So massive matchup this week against the Kangaroos, and we've seen what the Kangaroos give up inside 50s, a stack of, and plenty of scores to key forwards, and that's right in the range of Jeremy Cameron there this week. He could absolutely go nuts. So from that point of view, short term, 1 week, yeah, probably, but it's a long-term game, Jep. So how do we do key forwards? But he can score. His works from forward 50 all the way up to, the half back line, and just runs back straight back into the forward line and becomes a loose player. So, for a key forward, which we don't really target, if we're going to choose anyone, it's probably going to be Cameron. I still can't do it though, Jep. So it's a tough dislike here for me, but I really don't mind it.
Yeah, no, I'm a dislike. I just stick away from the key forwards unless it's the last or second last round of the season, and they play West Coast, and you sort of jag it a bit on the short term. But yeah, no way am I going Cameron. Fluctuation of scores. I think in round two against Adelaide, he had 62, and sure, last week against the Bulldogs, he had 116. But it was a clear tactic to have Jeremy Cameron working up the ground and trying to isolate Tom Hawkins too, and more of run and gun with Dempsey and Myers and Stengel, and they've just got an elite forward line. So no, I'm a dislike on Cameron.
Next one here, we're going to go to Christian Salem. So it's time to get out of there for me. Dislike.
Great dislike, agree.
Next one here, Mac Andrew was outstanding on the weekend. Matched up against Toby Green for a little bit there. Can score, Jep. So plenty of marks. Obviously, it's going to be a tough matchup against, bigger, for opposition forwards, I should say. And his scoring could fluctuate there, but he was outstanding on the weekend. Conditions were good; they were nice and dry. Again, the Gold Coast weather. Salary ranges okay still. It's kind of a little bit on the riskier side for me. So from that point of view, just a dislike. But yeah, I have looked at this one.
Just like for me too. Again, like at the end of this round, Pete, we're gonna have our DPPs lock in, and I can't see why you'd bring in a mid-price defender when we can flick Roberts or McKercher or Bonner back there, and Nick Martin too. So, yeah, staying away from those mid-price defenders for the time being.
So next one here, James Aish, has been outstanding to start the season. But as you've just mentioned, like how many DPBs we're going to get into that defensive line in the next couple of weeks. Aish will be in the mix for probably a top 10 defender, probably better options out there. So from that point of view, dislike, but he had an amazing start to the season, Jep. So look, I wouldn't mind if people went there, but I just think our defensive line's going to be pretty stacked in a couple of weeks. So there's just going to be better options than him.
Yeah, agree. You've missed the boat anyway, too. Like he's generated some cash, and yeah, it's a dislike now, but yeah, super good ball user. And it's funny how like we had Nick Martin and Amon as options, and no one really talked about Aish. But if maybe Nick Martin and Amon weren't the options, we would have started Aish, because yeah, he would have brought more attention with that DPP and movement.
Next one here, Shay Bolton. So senior coach for the Tigers, Adam Uzo says they're trying to grow the game for Shay Bolton in the midfield, but he's still a dangerous forward, and he was actually that quite dangerous on the weekend. So it's still going to be a stack of forward usage, not going to be a full-time mid. Pretty decent matchup there this week against the Eagles. I just think in a couple of weeks, and obviously when we get others into that forward line for DPP moves, if there's going to be any, and probably just better options than him around because his scores can fluctuate. Been solid the last couple of weeks, but I just think his range is going to be pretty low on a low ceiling day. So from that point of view, dislike, but he's on the radar to have a look at if you're interested.
Yeah, it's a like for me. I again, like for where Richmond are at, it's just this bye coming up. So ideally after the bye, but yeah, I'm really gonna consider him now. And I for our forward lines, it's looking bare, and he can hit a ceiling score, so big like.
Next one here, Dusty Martin misses too many games, dislike.
Yeah, agree. Like, it's tempting, but again, like Zorko, this in-season management's going to kill at some point. So, yeah, dislike.
Kyle Loman hit pretty well on the weekend against the Kangaroos, but a really tough matchup there this week. Potentially he can make some money, but man, it's a super tough matchup there this week. He could be a dead rookie really quickly. Dislike.
Yeah, he can score, can't he, Pete? And I pumped up his tires in the rookie pod that we did in pre-season, thinking he was best 22 and sort of not too much in that vest calculation, but I was wrong. And but he is proving what he can do when he avoids the vest. Unfortunately, we just can't guarantee there's not going to be a vest in the short term future, so it has to be disliked.
Next one here, we're going to go to Liam Duggan. Pretty decent start to his season. Obviously, a stack of centre bench usage in that first game and pretty much defence since. So, yeah, pretty solid scores. I don't mind it. Probably, again, there's just going to be way too many better options than him in that D line for me. So, I'm going to say like the pick here, but it's not going to be a trade for me.
Dislike for me, I think, she's a Whitfield Young, even Yeo currently, Nick Martin soon, Dacos, like he can't fit him in now, so dislike.
Next one, Tom De Koning. Says ruck situation again, probably looking at the Grundy move. Just an upgrade on Grundy rather than De Koning target. So, again, you could be stuck with him a couple of weeks. So, again, as you mentioned earlier, pretty much upgrade to the big dogs in that ruck line. English and Marshall would be your targets there rather than just, go down to De Koning.
Yeah, it's a waste of a trade, isn't it, Pete? Big dislike on De Koning, go straight to the top if you're getting rid of Grundy.
Jake Soligo, salary's in the range, I guess. I don't know, Jeb. So, like, he's going to get a midfield time, but his range of outcomes is pretty wide. And, Crows have had a poor start to the season. And that's, any time a team does this, especially when they've had pretty high expectation, it just, in my mind, it just alarm bells go off for change. And that's just fluctuating from week to week. And trying to, make things click really quickly. And that's like all of them. Like, we've seen Jordan Dawson move forward last week. And so no player is going to be missed here in a potential move. And if that's the case, Soligo goes on the outside to wing. And that's where he's really talked him up in the preseason to being that wing type that can go inside. And we've seen some pretty decent midfield usage recently inside. So, if that's going to pop to the outside at any stage, his scores could really fluctuate badly as a result. So from that point of view, it's a dislike.
He was good, Pete. Saw him again live, and he gave him something different. So he eventually, effectively, because he was playing so well, he pushed Jordan Dawson to the forward line. And yeah, it's just so interesting what Nick's is going to do with this midfield. Because if this is me, and this is not a fantasy bias, Matt Crouch and the crowd was getting antsy every time he had the ball because they knew it was going backwards and. He's not really an attacking player where Soligo is, and he just gives him something else. So it's a risky, risky pick. But I can, if he does have the full-time mid role, it's going to equate to scores. So look, it's probably worth a pick over the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to say light because you can hide behind the best 18 if it does go pear-shaped. And heck, if it goes well for you, you can cash in and. Look, other than Carlton in round five, then they got Essendon North, Port, Brisbane, and Collingwood West Coast. So it's a fair run, and he can cash in with some high scores potentially.
Yeah, I don't think it was Soligo pushing Dawson out of the midfield. I thought it was more based on, the Crows don't have any forward targets that are sort of cashing in. So Walker's had a back injury to start the season. Fogarty's not getting it done. He's pretty much a third tall anyway. And obviously, Tilthorpe's out of the team. So Dawson went forward and he actually worked. So more or less that was along the lines of trying to get something going in the forward line. And Dawson worked. So that's where Soligo cashed in. So, Dawson can play forward. He can still score. I'm still okay with that. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be a permanent move. But I think within the game, and Knicks did that last year when they needed to put scores on the board, Dawson did go forward. So maybe it's a result, Soligo cashes in from that point of view. But yeah, when teams start like this, alarm bells are going off in my head that, change is coming. And that, if they lose a few more, final's going to be out of the picture really quickly. And it puts everyone on notice for any Adelaide player, especially from a fantasy perspective, for the remainder of the season. All right, so let's move on to the next one. Sam Flanders, he's going to be a big like, notable role across half back. You know, Hardwick likes it. So all the information here, what we're seeing visually, the scoring rate was really solid. I thought he actually scored at unders on the weekend. I was looking at that at a quarter time and half time. I was thinking he actually could go for 140. Obviously, he kept it about 100 in the end, which was, you know, for those that don't own him, save some money for targeting him this week. But yeah, I wouldn't mind, you know, a couple of games under the roof at Marvel Stadium where he could actually go off pretty nuts and for 140, 150, I could see, especially if I deliver that ball into his hand for plenty of receives there. So big like here for me for Sam Flanders.
Yeah, big like for me too. It's just a shame he is playing the late Saturday games over the next few weeks because he's a VC option for those ceiling scores.
Next one here, Jai Caldwell. So Will Satterfield now out injured as well for the Bombers. And, you know, Durham will come back into the team. So I just wonder whether Durham goes straight back into that midfield. It's going to, you know, people looking at Caldwell being the person to go in there. Got some injury issues going on with the Bombers, a lot of soft tissue injuries, which is ain't any good. So from that point of view, Essendon players, probably except for Zach Merritt, I'm probably trying to avoid. And, you know, hopefully Nick Mahon can stay healthy, which he looks pretty good now at the moment. He's a bit of a fitness freak. So, I just think it could be a bit volatile for Jai Caldwell, so dislike.
Oh, I actually like it. Again, we're looking for these forwards to step up and hit the scores. And yeah, Essendon, although a lot of them aren't long-term injuries, there are some short-term injuries there. So he's got a chance to show his worth in the midfield. I know Hobbs is lurking as well, but yeah, Caldwell seems like a player that will rotate through there. And he's a pretty good tackler, and can get on the outside as well. So I really, really like this pick.
Next one here, Luke Ryan, plenty of kick-ins. Obviously, his scores have been okay as well. Still going to win plenty of ball for the remainder of the season. He'll be in the mix for, you know, potentially a top six defender, Jep. So don't mind the pick. I'll say like here.
You've got to like it. Like, I feel like every year on year, no one backs this guy in, and he takes all the kick-ins, he floats across, intercepts. He's a catalyst and sets up play amongst Aish and Jordan Clark too. So they're all scoring big, but Luke Ryan's the main player there, deep in the defensive 50, and Aish and Clark do more damage further up. So yeah, I like the pick for Ryan for sure. I mentioned earlier, though, I'm not going there because I'm pretty set in my defense and just waiting for these DPPs to click over.
Next one here, Jason Horne-Francis. Missed a couple of games. Hamstring has been pretty solid in his return from a fantasy perspective. His salary range is a little bit awkward there. His buy is actually really good in the middle of the season. You know, we really haven't seen that ceiling game from him, though, Jep. So what we need is, you know, if we're spending up on cash at this time of the year, even though it's still early in the year, we need these guys to be scoring 110s, 120, 130 on their best day. Can he get there? I'm a little bit dubious on that right now, maybe in the future. So from that point of view, a dislike for me, but he has started the season well.
Yeah, no, dislike for me too. He's more of an extractor, an impact player than an accumulator and a spread, to get on these plus sixes. So it's Rosie's team. Butters is his Robin, Rosie's Batman, and Horne Francis is just not there yet, from a fantasy point of view.
Is there a third party in the Batman crew? I don't think there is. There was the guy on the
Oh,
phone
so
that.
I was gonna say, the butler, what's his name there? Alfred, but then I pull back.
On to the next one here. We're going to go to Brian Myers and, you know, that Geelong conversation, really good matchup there this week. He can score. Jeb, I've undenied about this one. I'm actually going to say like. A little bit volatile at times, I can see. But he scores, man. Like, what's not to like? And in a good matchup, we know we can get there with a ceiling game. So, I'm actually a favourite here. I like it.
Look, I think it's one you can wait on though. Big scores at the back end in the second half of last year. So I'm looking at a 128, a 117, But then I look at a 52 and a 68, within the same month of those high ceiling scores. So let's wait and see. Given the forward options, yeah, we're limited, and it could happen. But not owning him right now, I don't think it's going to hurt too bad. So dislike.
That matchup this week is quite juicy for Grindmeiser. Like he could really have feast on the kangaroo. So,
Yeah, so Pete, just like that 128 score last year was against the Kangaroos. So, look, I wouldn't be surprised if he did it again. Again, we talk about it's being a long year. And if you're going to chase scores for a couple of weeks only, it's probably not a good method to the madness.
next one here, Luke Jackson. So all about Sean Darcy at this stage as we're recording the pod on Tuesday night. We're not sure if Sean Darcy was playing or not. Got to get through training on Wednesday. And then there's a decision to be made. So, if you look at it from another point of view, a different team, Sam Walsh, they said if he gets through training, he's playing. Fremantle come out and says, if he gets through training, that is Sean Darcy, then we'll make a decision. So, I'm 50-50 whether he plays or not. And if that's the case, and if there's not a clear-cut decision that if he gets through training, he's going to play, what sort of minutes is he going to play? So for those that own Luke Jackson, even if he plays, I kind of don't mind it. And that matchup against Port Adelaide this week against Ivan Soto is quite good. So, and best 18 is not really going to crucify you. So if you're a Luke Jackson owner and you're looking to move off, I'd still hold regardless of, if Darcy plays this week or not. And then make a decision once you come out of the best 8 in the bye period here. So a couple of week hold for Jackson, so still like for me. But yeah, just obviously got to monitor everything that's happening with Sean Darcy. We know his ceiling can be limited, Luke Jackson's. Once Darcy's back into that team, let's see if he plays this week, and it'll give you a pretty good indication. Thoughts, Chip?
Yeah, I'm a like on Jackson too, on the proviso Sean Darcy doesn't play. It is interesting because we don't know the block of work that he's done behind the scenes in terms of fitness and the like. But you and I spoke pre-pod and agreed that it would be best to ease in a big fella like that against West Coast, which is the round six matchup for Fremantle, at home, doesn't travel. And they can nurse him through three quarters of football, set him up for the whole year, which I think is a likely scenario. And yeah, so still like on Luke Jackson, even if Sean Darcy plays next week against West Coast, I still would keep Luke Jackson in a dual ruck setup. So yeah, he's still a hold for a little bit longer.
Next one here, we're going to go to Tom Powell. Pretty strong ownership. I like the pick. Decent matchup against Geelong midfield there this week, which I don't mind at GMHBA Stadium, though. So I wonder if that impacts him at all. I do like the pick here on Tom Powell.
Yeah, I like it too. He's got the role, he's got the CBAs, doesn't he? And he's come of age, definitely this season. So, yeah, big like. And actually, coming back to Caldwell, like they're similar styles of player, of somewhat. So, I know Caldwell's been locked into this half forward role, but if Caldwell the midfielder would be very similar to Powell. So, very much like both. And yeah, he's hoping Powell can kick on his early season form.
Next one here, Tim English. So, for me, Jeff, I'm a hold for Max Gawn for the remainder of the year, pretty much. So, I don't think I'm going to move off that unless anything, injury concern arises. So, it's going to be a choice between Marshall and English. And, the way I looked at it was that I chose Marshall over English. And we discussed that last week. We had a look at the draws and, what's beneficial in the matchups upcoming as well. So it's Marshall over English from that point of view. So how I frame that is I'm holding Gawn. I only need one other, and it'll be Cherry upgraded to Rowan Marshall at some stage over the next few weeks. So from that point of view, Tim English. But if people want to go to Tim English, that's also good. And you know what, Jeb? That'll be a highly unique pick, I would think, because he can put up some massive scores. So I just wonder, the alternative to for those that want to take a different path for the remainder of the season is to go to Tim English. I wouldn't mind it. So I like English as a player. I like him as a fantasy scorer. For personally, I'm just going to go a different direction. So like the pick, but for me, it'll be a different direction.
I like English too, but maybe not this week with a break even of 145. I know he can hit that on his good day, but let's just play some economics here with him, and jump on him at the right time. So yeah, he's the extra midfielder. You know, he moves like a midfielder again. Benefit of watching so much football and of neutral teams over the weekend was I kept a good eye on English and other players that I'm sort of got my fantasy eye in for. So he's dropped his season price by 77 grand, 77,000, sorry. And he's going to drop a little bit further. So let's maximize that value. And I do like that he has around 15 buy too.
Yeah, if he drops more salary, I could easily flip back to a Tim English over Ryan Marshall just based on price. Because we know they can pretty much equal out the same average for the main of the year. So it actually could be a very good point there. Obviously, playing the salary game, we are. And the last one here, this one's for you, Eric Martin. I'll keep it simple for you. Straight dislike for me.
Yeah, it's a dislike for me too. Again, like it's a shame it wasn't early in the season. But you just, I'm not bringing in mid-price defenders with these DPPs coming up, and yeah, it's just a waste of time in my view. So yeah, dislike.
Final thoughts ahead of round five, Jeff.
Make sure you're improving your team with your trades this week. Yeah, a big gun midfielder you can hide behind a downgrade upgrade. So I'm pretty much looking at a big mid premium this week because I feel like I can hide behind an extra, well, it'll be two mid prices to a rookie and a primo, and I can hide behind that rookie score because it's best 18. So that's my strategy. I've got a couple of failed mid prices that I need to offload, and yeah, hopefully I can cash in with an underpriced premium.
We're starting to be an upgrade season now. Do you have that same thought, Jeff? Is that we're at the stage where it's just we're to punish the upgrades now?
Yeah, I'm going pretty aggressive with my trade ups. I'm going to take advantage over the next 2 weeks of this best 18. And to do that, I want high ceiling scoring players. So, yeah, I pre-planned for this a couple of weeks back. And in hindsight, I actually am a bit short of who I wanted being Bontempelli. But yeah, just ultra aggressive with trades. I'm not worried too much about. You know, you see, as this player X bottomed out in price so much, I'm worried about the short-term matchups, the short-term scoring payoffs, and the ceiling scores from the premiums I want.
Yeah, and I'd also suggest once we get out of that bye, you might want to sort of set up a spreadsheet to what your team looks like the first week after the bye. So where we're playing for a significant amount of weeks, where what's your team going to look at, especially with the DPP changes, Jeff. I would actually create a spreadsheet and make those moves already to see what it looks like, and so and that'll probably direct you into sort of targeting some premium mids. Like for me, it is. It's like I am looking at just premium mid upgrades, and it'll be like McKercher up, and it'll be like Sharp up, and like Bonner up. Like all those players are all going up to someone, and it'll be 1 week after the 1 week after the 1 week. So that'll happen pretty quickly for me after the bye period, and hopefully I can get there really quickly. Because we get all those mids in there that we've got DPP, they're all going to be pushed out the fringes, Jep.
100%, mate. And if the forward line's still a doozy, starting in round seven with Harley Reid on field is still risky, in my opinion. You've got to maybe look at that only. But yeah, Sanders hopefully gets forward status, and we might be able to hide from him, within him. Sorry, at F6. So. Yeah, a bit to play out there, but yeah, definitely plan ahead for what your team's going to look like.
Well, Jep, all the best to you this week. Go and smash your score. And for listeners, hopefully you're tracking well to start the season. If not, it's a long game. We've got many, many, many weeks to go. So get stuck in and start hitting the break-even game, because eventually, once we get to the back end of the year, you'll start overtaking those now with thinner benches. And that's something I've noticed with some high-ranked teams is they've got pretty thin benches right now. So if you play the long game, eventually you'll overtake those that have not really invested early in the season. All right, Jep, and to listeners, all the best this week, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys.